Hi, this is Betty, and it's another beautiful day here on Friday, September 25th, and I'm reading from the News Gazette. And let's get back to the good old Restore Illinois, Phase 4. We're in a day 92. And the impact in Illinois is 281,371 cases with 8,538 deaths. And in Champaign County, we have 4,435 cases with 20 deaths. Douglas County has 304 cases with 7 deaths. Ford County has 143 cases with 5 deaths. Piatt has 139 cases, 0 deaths. And Vermilion has 588 cases with 4 deaths. And in Douglas County, health officials took to Facebook Thursday to urge anyone who attended a private party involving high school students in Tuscola last weekend to get tested for COVID-19. At least 2 attendees have tested positive who went to that party. And Parkland College has added a new online dashboard listing self-reported cases among students and staff. Currently reflected are a total of 55 cases for the 6 weeks beginning August 10th through September 6th. And also on the front page of the News Gazette, it's got redirecting funds from police to other area takes focus. And this is by Ben Zichterman. Police leaders, city staff, and city council members heard from the public Thursday during Champaign's first listening session on how it should approach public safety. Nearly 20 community members spoke during the 2-hour virtual meeting. This is an important time for our community and for our country to confront social challenges that are facing us head-on, Police Chief Anthony Cobb said. And we understand it is important for us to listen to our citizens before we shape the future directions of the Champaign Police Department. He called the listening sessions an initial step, but not a futile one. And the community members who spoke Thursday offered a variety of views, but were generally in favor of reducing funding for traditional policing and spending more on mental health and other community programs. We need to fundamentally change the role of our police in our society, and that role has to be smaller, more circumscribed, and less funded with taxpayer dollars, local activist Rita Connerly said. Money saved from reducing the size and scope of police departments must be reinvested into community-based services that are better suited to respond to actual community needs. Drake Mater suggested a program where social workers could help during domestic violence calls. When there's a domestic violence call, maybe a social worker gets the call too. Programs like that, Matera said, can drastically remove police officers from certain calls and from certain situations. Brian Dunn said that despite high spending on police, we still have high incidences of violent crime, crime that oftentimes would have been prevented with proper mediation, counseling, or simply someone securely having their needs met. He said the police responsibilities should be evaluated and redirected to other departments that could handle them better. I believe police are either highly over or underqualified for many of their duties, Dunn said. We don't need someone making $30 plus an hour with hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayer-purchased equipment, including a gun, to tell me when I don't have the right sticker on my car. Tom Moore said defunding the police makes no sense, but said he supported redirecting funding and urged the city to do it in a systematic way. We need to find out what other cities have already done, what seems to work in cities and what doesn't seem to work. And we need to keep following that. He encouraged the city to regularly revisit the policies and plans so as to not let it get stale and not only be addressed when there's a major problem that comes up. Janet Elaine Guthrie agreed, urging the city to regularly review the 10 shared principles developed in 2018 by the NAACP and Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. The opportunity to have a sort of ongoing review and accountability for how, for example, these 10 principles are being implemented and taken seriously would, I think, go a very, very long way. Minnie Pearson, the president of the local NAACP of Champaign County, said officers should focus on treating people with respect to help prevent situations from escalating out of control. Just as we know that all police officers are not bad people, we also want to be considered, as Black people or people of color in the community, that not all Black people are criminals. When we are stopped by the police, the first thing we look for, no matter what, is you to treat us with dignity and respect, because we feed off of that. Champaign has 4 more virtual listening sessions planned, 6 p.m. Tuesday, 1 p.m. October 3rd, 1 p.m. October 9th, and 6 p.m. October 13th. The sessions will be followed later this year by study circles and then by council discussions about the future of policing in our community to assure that we are delivering services to keep our community safe that are consistent with our community's values and expectations, City Manager Dorothy David said. Okay, another story on the front page of the News Gazette. Adoption of resolution draws heavy criticism, and this is by Deborah Pressey. 6 University of Illinois administrators and a campus Jewish organization quickly criticized a newly adopted Illinois student government resolution calling on the U of I to divest from its own police department and those of Champaign and Urbana, as well as corporations it said that are contributing to human rights violations. The resolution, adopted Wednesday night, chronicles interactions between local police and Black residents dating to 2009 and states that the calls for divestment from police stem from recent abuses by university and local police forces in Urbana-Champaign. It also states, the morals and priorities of the U of I's Urbana campus reside in its investments in fossil fuels, the prison industrial complex, the military industrial concept, the Israeli occupation, and police departments. UIUC's investment in companies involved in human rights violations and violations of international law, including the confiscation and destruction of Palestinian lands, criminalization of immigrants and communities of color, and environmental racism make the UIUC complicit in these crimes, the resolution states. Rabbi David Tichtel, executive director of Illini Chabad, said his organization was deeply disappointed by the action taken by student government group and said it should be called out for what it is, anti-Semitism and a BDS vote. The BDS was referring to the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement, which says it works to end international support for Israel's oppression of Palestinians and pressure Israel to comply with international law. The student government resolution was written purely to back students into a corner, Tichtel said. Students should never have to choose between standing up for social and racial justice while also having to shed their Jewish identity and their connection to the Jewish homeland to do so. Fighting for the rights of one marginalized community should not come at the expense of another marginalized group. A statement released by U of I Chancellor Robert Jones and five other university administrators said Illinois Student Government is an independent organization that can pass non-binding resolutions on any topic it chooses. It is unfortunate that a resolution before the group Wednesday was designed to force students who oppose efforts to divest from Israel to also vote against support for the Black Lives Matter movement, Jones and other administrators said. They went on to say that the resolution includes several points on which university administration can agree, but a foundational value of this institution is inclusion, and this resolution includes language that we cannot and will not support. The resolution further called on Jones to create a task force charged with divesting from corporations and index funds that violate human rights and reinvest in socially and environmentally responsible companies and index funds. It says the task force should include, but not limited to, Associate Chancellor Robert Ellinger, who is also Vice President for Budget and Resources, Sean Garrick, who is a Vice Chancellor for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and at least one student representative from Students for Justice in Palestine, Students for Environmental Concerns, the Graduate Employees Organization, and Black Students for Revolution. Dichtel said the resolution and comments made during its adoption reflect continued anti-Semitism on campus, and it's important for U of I leaders and community to help make Jewish students feel safe and supported. The good news is people can see what is going on. The bad news is what is going on. Okay, we have Ask the Admin, a daily question for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, Julie Pride. The question is, I've heard people say a lot that it's going to be a hard winter once it gets too cold to do things outside anymore. As a public health official, can you say if anything that has been learned about the coronavirus since March would allow for less restrictions on indoor visiting, or is the winter going to be as isolating as people fear? The answer, anything indoors is going to be more likely to spread COVID-19. This is especially true if the space is not well ventilated. People in any indoor setting outside of their homes should wear a mask and remain at least 6 feet away from others. This is going to continue to be the guidance. Any activity such as singing, yelling, or even talking loudly can push out more air and thus more virus particles if they are present. It will be important to continue to be vigilant during the winter months when we expect to see an increase in community spread. The CDC has some great tips at cdc.gov/2019-ncov-daily-life-coping-deciding-to-go-out.html. And that was a way too long address. Okay, going into the section called Our County, the headline says, Village recognizes longtime educator with Tim Lee Day, and this is by Matt Daniels. Folks driving through Oakwood on Wednesday night have noticed a few signs recognizing one of their own. The Vermilion County village of roughly 1,600 residents celebrated Tim Lee Day on Wednesday, honoring the affable and longtime educator. Lee, the principal at Oakwood High School, said the recognition was a complete surprise to me. Lee credited veteran Oakwood teacher and coach Lynn Anderson, along with Oakwood Mayor Clay Woodard, a former student of Lee's, for jump-starting the idea and turning it into reality. But as involved as the recognition was, Lee said, there had to be a lot of people who had a part. Either way, it was a day Lee will remember for some time. The whole thing was kind of surreal to walk on the football field and to see your entire family, your staff, and a few friends. Lee said, to have everyone go out of their way to honor you is very humbling. Then to drive through town and see the signs with your names on them is fun. It is definitely a day that I won't be forgetting anytime soon. Okay, the next article. First Busey adds banks to its board, and this is by Ben Zigderman. First Busey's Corporation's newest board member is a familiar face. The parent company of Busey Bank announced Thursday the appointment of Sam Banks, who recently announced he would be retiring as executive director of the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club in June 2021. Banks has been a member of subsidiary Busey Bank's board since 1994. In a news release, the company described Banks as a proven leader, effective community collaborator, and successful fundraiser. Next, we have Talk of the Towns, and this starts out with St. Joseph. The sewer rate increase that was postponed from this summer will go into effect in October. The minimum flat fee for 2020 will be $17.50. Each additional unit will be $7. The average user can expect their bill to go up by about $10. The rate increase was enacted because the sewer plant is reaching capacity and the village is having to do additional maintenance on the plant due to its age. And from Villa Grove, the city council voted to move forward with a trick-or-treating from 4 to 7 p.m. October 31st, reminding residents that participation is voluntary and only houses that have outdoor lights on will be included. From Watsika, the Iroquois County Public Health Department will be offering flu shots by appointments beginning Monday. Call 815-432-2483, and the shot costs $35. And again, that phone number was area code 815-432-2483 for flu shot appointments in Iroquois County. Tolono Masonic Lodge 391 is hosting a breakfast from 8 a.m. to noon, Sunday at 202 East Main Street. In Mahomet, the Mahomet Area Youth Club, which applied for the State Farm Neighborhood Assistance Grant Program, was selected as a finalist in the top 200 organizations across the nation. The next phase includes public voting. The top 40 organizations to receive will receive $25,000 from State Farm. Voting begins Wednesday and runs through October 2nd. For information, visit neighborhoodassist.com. And in Broadlands, the Village Board is looking into placing golf cart signs around town. Also, signs warning motorists of children playing will remain in place, and flashing lights may be placed on stop signs near the community park. And in Philo, the Philo Exchange Bank is hosting a community shred event from 9 to 11 a.m. October 10th. Residents can bring up to 5 bags or boxes of items, and the bank will be collecting items for its food drive also. And all this was reported by Nora Mayberry Daniels. The News Gazette has a new section starting on Fridays, and it's the High School Confidential, and it's Kids Doing Good Things. And on Fridays during the school year, area students fill us in on what's happening in their hallways. And so we have in Monticello, seniors took the SAT on Wednesday. It was a state mandated makeup for the required spring SAT that was missed due to COVID-19 restrictions. And two groups of students were separated and distanced in different gyms to comply with the guidance. And this was reported by Riley Combs. In Fisher, thanks to the hard work of Principal John Kelly, Superintendent Barb Thompson, and the school district staff, Fisher has been able to conduct in-person learning during the coronavirus pandemic to start the semester. That was reported by Andrew Ferguson. From Muhammad Seymour, Ag instructor Jennifer Wearley said the department received a donation to help further the student academics in science and agri-sciences. The app-based program is designed to use an advanced STEAM teaching tool that shows the latest advancements in digital and plant sciences. The investments from Mark and Raquel Lacey Nelson and their work with Context Global Development will allow ag students to study and conduct experiments. And that was reported by Kate Kramer. In DeLand Weldon, in Ryan Prey's chemistry class, students are learning about matter and change while adjusting to wearing masks. And that's by Tori Billingsley. Cisna Park. With so many students eating lunch and attending class outside, it's nice to have a picnic area cleaned up and organized. And that is reported by Audrey Cabe. In Georgetown Ridge Farm, staff members distribute food every Monday for families who have students in the district. Also, the football team has been working out while COVID-19 precautions are in place. And that's by Hayden Kopass. In Gibson City, Melvin Sibley. Multimedia journalism is an elective class offered to seniors and taught by Julie Briney. They have access to editing software and filming equipment. Each week they produce a broadcast to shed light on events and activities at the school. And for video updates, follow at @GCMS_WFAL on Twitter and Instagram, and that's by Haven Hathaway. And in Oakwood, Travis Goodner was a medalist and was joined by Case Kopass and Reed Sperry as Coach Jerry McLaughlin and the Comets took on Bismarck Henny Rossville Alvin by Alia Denius. Centennial. Hannah Hong broke her own school and pool records by more than 20 points on her 11 dive routine. She was named WCIA TV Athlete of the Week, and that's by Jada Bonham. And at Armstrong, Lovington, Atwood, Hammond, as staff and students wore purple to school remote learners, participated by sending in photos. Pictures from left are the ALA staff, and this is by Reagan Cheek, and there's a picture of them on, it looks like bleachers, and they're 6 feet apart. It's, and our COLA students and staff rocked their purple. Pictured above our front row, and it lists the names of the people who are there. And that is all in support of Arcola High Principal Lisa Segrist, who is battling cancer, at #SegristStrong. And Tuscola did the same thing. So there were three schools, Tuscola, Arcola, and Armstrong, Lovington, Atwood, Hammond, that supports the Arcola High School principal. In Leroy, this year's student council officers include Jalen Ford, Abby Levingston, Tiffany Borgman, and Grace Loy. The student council is excited to see what this school year brings and to connect with the student body. And that is by Emerson Tarr. At Academy High, students in environmental studies prepared for upcoming conversations with Energy Specialist Company, Brianna Ballard reported. Champaign Central, The Virtual Arts Club will meet virtually on the fourth Thursday every month starting September 24th. Also, Herf Jones is taking orders for Letterman jackets and class rings with all orders due before Christmas, and that's by Perry Lee. In Bement, last Friday, student and staff wore shirts wearing Wesley Harper's name and his football uniform number, as well as inspirational quotes to school. Harper, a senior, was seriously injured in a farming accident over the summer. That was by Haley Gadberry. Armstrong Potomac. Armstrong FFA hosted the annual barbecue on September 14th. The goal was to inform parents about the chapter and offer the chance to talk with FFA alumni. Chapter advisor Destiny Swalve joined officers Donovan Gudakis, Luke Gordon, Kelly Burrows, Mikayla Learned, and Kaylee Blankford, and Carolyn Crozier. And that was reported by Mason McMasters. At Unity, freshman class officers were chosen by the president. Freshman class officers were chosen by the student body. President was Olivia Scheich. Vice president is Cassidy Keller. Secretary is Ruby Tarr. And the treasurer is Dalton O'Neill. And that is by Malia Fairbanks. At St. Thomas More, new lockers were installed last week. Principal Sister M. Bridget and Dean of Students Thomas Woods communicated that no in-person classes would take place while additional workers were in the building. All teachers, including instructor Melissa Marcotte, prepared students for online classes Monday through Wednesday, and that's by Macy Walters. Paxton Buckley Loda. The new ag teacher, Aaron Stack, was awarded Ag Ed Teacher Grant. At Saturday's St. Teresa's Invite, each cross-country team member ran a personal best. Ryder James won the boys' race, and Trixie Johnson took second in the girls' race. Among precautions in place for in-school learning, wiping down desks after every use, access to hand sanitizer, and frequently spraying halls with disinfectant. And that was reported by Taylor Menega. At Unity High, the yearbook class created the UN, capital letters, night show on YouTube, a mix of serious and comedic stories. The inspiration is to keep the uni community updated in a way that didn't require another Zoom meeting. New episodes are released Tuesday mornings. That's by Charlotte Evil. In Salt Fork, in-person learning resumed after a two-week break that helped decrease the amount of students and faculty being exposed to COVID-19. And that was by Olivia Chu. In Urbana, last Thursday, Senior Bannon Garada and the Region 5 Youth Preparedness Council organized a webinar addressing concerns of today's youth. Speakers Mark Fisher and Gabriela Zapata spoke about transition to in-person learning, safety measures, and social isolation. And that was by Jose Alvarez. In Danville, no school desk, no problem. That model works for Marcana Fletcher, who with her grandfather built a beautiful desk to allow her to complete her studies comfortably at home. That's by Lanny Islam. At Chrisman, volleyball players are attending open gyms every week in hopes they'll have a season this school year. That was by Reese Anderson. At Bismarck-Henning-Rossville-Alvin, students and staff have gone all out for Friday theme days, including a pep rally on the football field as cheerleaders and the band help celebrate the return to school and success of fall sports team. And that was by Morgan Miller. Rantoul. Alicia Kessler, Angela Wobel, and Lavina prepares to run for the second home cross country meet of the season. That was by Tony Owen. And I'll come back on the second half. I'm going to take a little break now, and we'll get back to you shortly.